As always, I begin with, it's a great privilege to be with you today and have the opportunity to be back together. I guess I have to say the number one great blessing of going away off in the Northeast is knowing that I get to come back to Texas. Well, that was pretty weak, Texans. Okay, all right, that's better. I'll get along with that then. That's good. You'd be surprised at the questions I get about Texas. I'm not going to take the time this morning to share them all with you, but eventually some of those might come out. But they have some strange pictures in their head about what we do over here and what's happening. But nonetheless, they're great brethren. We have a great time. In fact, I'll just tell you that in the Northeast, in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, last weekend was the largest attended Focus Northeast we've ever had. We had some 8 congregations represented and came on Saturday, some of them driving almost over 100 miles, many of them round trip. It would certainly be a very long journey. That's fairly standard for them, that they have to go that far to have a fellowship or Christian fellowship. And they're not as open as we are in Texas, as a matter of fact. I'm talking about the congregations. So many of them were hungry for the opportunity to be together. We just had a marvelous group of people that were there in support of us, and we felt honored to have that opportunity to just to be with them, those that we knew, and some many people that we met that were brand new. Well, let's get into our lesson. This is going to be my last on this for you all about us making life's decisions. But I just kind of thought that it wasn't complete unless we really sort of tied some things together. And I wanted to do that today. And some of the lessons that we've had, like in the very beginning, we were talking about making decisions about a straight road and a broad road or a wide road. Matthew chapter 7, we were at the crossroads of decision. Some of us might make that application to coming into Christ or whatever, but I think I emphasized a little bit to you that the idea of that is present in everyday living, that is, making our everyday choices. And so I'm trying to bring some of those things back to your mind as we talked about them. And naturally, we talked some ideas about initially that it's up to you. It's your decision to make to follow Christ. And remember over in Philippians chapter 1, you don't have to go over there. I'm just going to make mention of the scripture that was there that we talked about where he says, "This I pray that your love abounds or may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment," or judgment, in other words, "so that you may approve the things that are excellent." And I hope I mentioned to you that that Greek word is talking about the best. In other words, approving in the current decision you're making the best decision that you can make. And that's what we all are striving to do, isn't it? Trying to make the best decisions that we can in following what God wants us to do. Because decisions make a difference in our lives. Not only that, they make a difference in other people's lives. Whether they're good decisions or bad decisions, they have consequences. And we need to be people who recognize those kinds of things. And I hope you see that when you're planning your life, when you're trying to pursue your goals, you see, it's those good decisions that help to determine what our destiny in this life is all about. So hence, will you be a follower of Jesus? Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And there are a number of passages we might have chosen other than just the four disciples that are chosen here from Peter, Andrew, James, and John. That's not all of the 12 disciples. But now as Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what's their response? They immediately left their careers. They left their nets, and they followed him, the scripture says. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, I used that passage just to say to you that, you know, there are some things in life that come along that you just know the answer to. I mean, it's the right thing to do. And I'm going to insert in here, since we're not being told any of the other circumstances of what was happening, I can only imagine what they might be. But nonetheless, these four men decided right on the spot that this is a fellow I'm going to follow. And they did it. And they left. I'm reminded of other times in my preaching days. In one of the congregations that we served in, there was a young man there that had a very checkered, I'm going to say, early years or teenage years, and eventually on into his early 20s, and he suffered with a lot of different difficulties between all of the temptations that were out in the world, and you can imagine what those all would have been. And we had a little meeting, getting the men together and trying to get everybody encouraged to serve the Lord. And I had them fill out a card and tell me whatever they wanted to tell me in regard to what was the thing that was preventing them to make a decision about following Christ or to stay faithful to following Christ, if maybe they'd made such a decision. And on this card, this individual who was the son of one of our deacons, he said very plainly, "You name it, I've done it." Now here was a young man that had been nurtured in the church, I'm going to say. He was raised up that way. And he was brought to Bible school by his parents. And his parents were loving, gentle, great people. And yet, here his life had gone astray. He obviously had been taught somewhere about biblical principles. But there was, I'm going to say, this is my thinking, there was a gap between understanding of what he was taught and somehow he might be able to fulfill that or to do those things. In reality, that may be where we all are a lot of times. Would you agree? That is, we know what to do and we've been told what to do. We've read what God wants us to do, and yet we struggle with, there's the lack of enthusiasm for getting the job done or for doing what I should do. Now, go ahead, I'll get this first passage, but that is not an uncommon problem, what we're getting into here, and that's why I think we want to tie these lessons up about making decisions so that we have a greater understanding of maybe what we might be able to do to help us make good decisions. In this particular passage here in chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, it says that Jesus, a few days later, this is after some other events, okay? Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he led them up into this high mountain. Now, you know this story. You've heard it probably most of your lives by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like a sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is so good for us to be here, to get to witness this. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and they were terrified. Now, what I'm saying to you is that their whole idea of making the right decision, here we have the example of some people following at the moment someone called and realizing it was the right thing to do. Those same men following him, they're making a suggestion that we ought to make a memorial, you see, for Moses and Elijah as well as for Jesus. And Jesus is saying something very important about making decisions. That is, you can just follow one leader. And the Heavenly Father made it very clear about whom he wanted them to follow. And that was his Son, Jesus. Over in the book of Philippians, there is this passage, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And it's talking again about making these life decisions. Listen to what Paul is saying here. He says there are many who walk, or many walk, and I have to say this, that word walk is not like taking your morning stroll. It's talking about your life plan, your living. Life would probably be the better word. "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, those or whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things." Now, he's talking to those that have made the decision to follow Christ, and yet they're not walking as they should. They're not living like they should. They've made a decision to follow their own personal desires. They're doing the things that they maybe used to do. It seems that they're enemies of the cross, as it is said, as opposed to being those who would be supporters of the cross. Their desire is after their appetite. Some of the older versions just used to say the belly. The Greek word is talking about the abdomen, or the, in other words, the physical desires here are what they were searching for. And many people, many of us, struggle every day with making decisions based upon what our own personal desires are. And the folks that are right there next to you today, that's where we are. Because that's the common human condition. We wear the name of Jesus, but we are not always listening to his voice. You understand what I'm getting at? When the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And I'm trying to emphasize to us as brethren in Christ that we, and for those of you who don't know, that includes the sistren too, okay? We want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be his disciples. We want to wear his name so that his name will not be dishonored. Now there's another passage that I'm going to have you mark. It's not going to be on the screen, but Ephesians chapter 4 is one I would encourage you to write down and read and study. In fact, the whole chapter is good, of course. But down at verses 17, 18, and 19, he's talking about those people in Ephesus and about how they're going to live. And he starts off by using that word walk again. And so he tells them, walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in their futility of their minds, being darkened with their understanding and excluding, if you will, from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts appear. They're not taking it in. And they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality. That would be the things of appetite or whatever that we would rather do. And for the practice of every kind of impurity as well as greediness. So he says that they're living in darkness, the darkness of their understanding, the hardness of their hearts, the loss of sensitivity, their indulgence in the things that are not pure, because they are following after the lust of greediness and all of those things. How are we going to be Christ's servants if we don't make the change? If we don't make the decision to change? We cannot make them by personal desires. What are we hungry for? We can't do this and go along with the crowd. Remember that first lesson that was talking about the road that was broad that leads to destruction. Now, I think on TV there's a program called The Highway to... I don't think maybe it's a consequence or maybe a reference to anything we would think of spiritually, but isn't it strange? We have a song that says A Stairway to Heaven. You see, there might be a little difference in the room on a stairway and then a road. If we're going to go to heaven, we've got to do what the Bible tells us to do. Very often, you see, following what everybody is doing. Did you ever use that excuse with your folks? Everybody else is doing it. You know, we want to go do it. You see, it was the crowd that told Aaron, make for us gods. Where was Moses? Well, he was up on the mountaintop, wasn't he, at Sinai, getting the tablets, the word, the message from God himself. The people were impatient at the foot of the mountain. They wanted Aaron to make some gods for them. And, of course, Aaron's explanation to Moses was that the golden calf jumped at them. And there it was. I don't think any calves jumped out of the fire. I think they made that out of the gold that they saw. It was the crowd, of course, you know, that crucified Jesus in Mark 15:14-15. They nailed the Son of God to the wooden cross. It's the crowd that said, let's stone Stephen, or they began to stone Stephen in Acts chapter 8 and following. All of this stuff, maybe it had something to do that, you know, that Stephen said, you are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, that you cannot hear. No wonder God issued such a strong warning about not following the crowd. In fact, in Exodus 23 and 2, he says that specifically. Do not follow the crowd to do evil. In Proverbs 1 and verse 5, he says, a wise person hears and increases in learning, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, he says in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 and following, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait and shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without the camp. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the grave. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be about evil. We talked in our Bible class this morning. We have an important election in our country. I hope that as a Christian, you are determined right now that however the election comes, that you will be civil and that you will be ready to follow whatever the results are. That's what God would ask us to do. Now that may not be, if it comes out the way you don't want it, that may be more difficult. But it is what we're asked to do. That is to follow our leaders. We don't do that blindly. If we're led to do things that would be in opposition to God's law, we would not do that. But otherwise, we would not want to give the world an opportunity to look at us and see a bad example in our following the things that we do. We don't want to just follow the crowd. We want to be people of sound moral behavior. Hello? Are you out there? These are how we make decisions, to do the things that are right. A great a great thing that goes in our society, you know, there's always somebody conducting some kind of an experiment or a study. A psychologist, Ruth Bernada is her name, carried out an interesting one. I'm just going to share it with you. She took 10 young people, and she took 9 of the 10 without, of course, the 10th knowing this. These 9 of the 10 were told that when the person came in the room, they were going to draw on the board 3 lines. One of those lines of the 3 would be longer than the others, but every time the person asked for which one was the longest line, they were asked to respond incorrectly. You got that? She didn't tell that to the 10th person. And she allowed the 10th person to go on in without having been given any instruction. When the person would point to the lines and say, which one is the longest line, 9 people have been instructed to point out at a line that's not as long. And they did. And 75% of the time, the 10th person did the same. Now, if that's confused you, I'm sorry. It would be better if I'd have written it on a board for you, maybe. I'm only illustrating to you that most people fall right in with the crowd. It means that 25% of those people, or 25% of the time, those people who knew the right answer were not responding to it. That's interesting to me. There's a biblical example of that. I want you to, in your Bible, look at John chapter 12, verses 42 through 44. It said that many people believed in Jesus, but they did not confess Him because of the Pharisees. They loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. In other words, they didn't speak up for what they knew was right because they feared everything else that was happening around them. You can't just follow your feelings. You've got to hear the voice of God. You've got to hear the Son of God and follow Him. I know that today a lot of times the people would say, follow your heart. You know what we say here, right? This is the biblical heart. I'm not sure what they might be saying there, probably most of the time your feelings, but is that always a good thing? Jacob was not necessarily a person who was a bad person. He was a good person. But he was told that that coat of many colors, his own sons brought it to him. What did he think? He thought his son had been killed, Joseph. But guess what? Joseph was what? He was still alive, wasn't he? He was not dead. Even though he was being told that, even though the evidence pointed that way, I wonder if he could feel any different having believed the wrong thing that those boys did for all those years. Can you imagine that when they had that reunion, the kind of feeling that was there to overcome a lie of over 20 years? We can't follow just our feelings. We can't follow just our heart. There are all kinds of biblical examples. You remember Naaman, who was told to dip 7 times? He didn't want to dip in those rivers. He didn't want to dip in the River Jordan. It was too dirty for him. Instead, he wanted to be in the clean rivers rather than to do exactly what the prophet come and told him or asked him to do. We cannot follow just our desires, the crowd, or our feelings, and sometimes we can't follow our intellect. Why, the parable of the wise and the foolish builders, Jesus makes it very clear that some people just don't build on the right foundation. A wise man built his house on a rock, didn't he? Foolish man built his house on the sand. That wasn't a good decision. In the end, the fall was great. We have to follow what God is telling us. All of that into saying to you that I hope that you will use these things to help lead your life so that you can do what you should do for the Lord. We need to obey the followings of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Will you follow Jesus? That's the decision. I hope that we'll be strong in that. We don't follow the church. We follow Jesus, who established the church, or the ecclesia, the assembly of people together. Don't be foolish enough to be like these who walked in their other direction and who allowed themselves to be deluded and their minds to be darkened and to be turned into sensuality and all of those things, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, becoming enemies of the cross. Instead, hear ye Him. Follow Jesus Christ. I love you guys with all of my heart. I love all of you. I know that you're great people. I know that you're striving to do that. I hope that these are scriptures and lessons of encouragement to you to continue to do that. If you're here today, we can help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. We can lead you in the paths of righteousness, that is the Father in heaven, doing His will. We invite you to come and make it known to us while Nick leads us in our invitational song. Please come.